Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. I am so happy now to welcome my next guest, and I'm trying to lift up this book, but it weighs a ton. Book is 100 Disney Adventures of a Lifetime, Magical Experiences from Around the World. I love gift books, and this is a perfect gift book. I tell you, if you're visiting anybody on Thanksgiving, you will want to bring this book with you, and it will keep everybody enthralled for the entire time while they're waiting for their turkey. If you have a good book, it's okay. Hey, Marcy, are you there? Marcy Smothers, hi, how are you?
I'm here.
Okay, great, because I'm telling everybody to get this book and take it with them if they're invited for Thanksgiving dinner or if they're doing it at home to have it on their coffee table, because it'll keep everybody busy between the time they're waiting for the turkey and then the time they're waiting for the big game. This is a wonderful book.
I love that.
100 Disney Adventures of a Lifetime. Magical experiences from around the world. Marcy, you have put together an absolutely fabulous book.
Well, thank you. It's a complete honor to write for National Geographic, and this is the first collaboration of Nat Geo and Disney, so it's extra special because I'm a Disney geek.
Well, and I'm a Nat Geo geek.
Perfect.
I was raised on Nat Geo, and of course I love all of their books. Every Thanksgiving is a Nat Geo gift day for me. I always give a Nat Geo book because I think it's perfect. The wonderful thing about Nat Geo books is nobody ever puts them in a garage sale. They are treasures that people keep forever.
That is such a great point. I love that sentiment. You know, I might actually copy you for this Thanksgiving. It would be appropriate.
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead. And the book is lovely, and I love all the pictures of Walt Disney. And just tell us about how you came up with this idea and how you're...
Well, it was National Geographic's idea. They were acquired by the Disney Company in 2019. And since we'll be celebrating the 100th anniversary of the Walt Disney Company in 2023, they thought, well, why don't we do one of our 100 books, but do it about the best Disney adventures in the world? So we started with about, Nat Geo had vetted about 40 different adventures across the board from the different platforms within Disney and Nat Geo Adventures by Disney, the cruises, the parks, etc. And then I came on board. And together as a team, we just looked at everything that you could do. And there's a few things that were very important to me. One was that they all didn't have to be bucket list expensive things. They could be free. So I think that I worked really hard for this large span of everything from achievable to aspirational. The other thing that was really important to me was to include Walt. So thank you for mentioning him earlier. You know, Walt actually had, he's like you, a huge Nat Geo fan. And when he was researching his movies as early as the 30s, he installed an entire National Geographic library at studio, and that still exists today. So another thing that I wanted in honor of Walt and the 100th anniversary was Adventures with Walt entries, where the reader can get to know Walt Disney, not the legend or just the legend, but also the man, and to go visit the places that influenced and inspired him.
That's what I loved about this book. All of the photos of Walt Disney, you know, his face just radiates joy. That's the word that came to mind as I was going through it. Every photo of him, he's just so joy-filled. You know that behind, you know, the face, in the great mind of his, he has all these wonderful ideas, and it shows. It shows on his face.
I just adore also that you shared that. That's the word I use all the time, is the great joy that he possessed, and the fact that that joy he wanted for people watching his movies, the joy he wanted and the magic he wanted people to feel when they were in his park still exists today, all those years since he passed in 1966. So whatever it was that he was able to capture that you're seeing in those photos is still evident in these Disney adventures today. And that's a lot of credit that goes to the Imagineers and the cast members that are continuing his legacy and keeping his vision going forward.
Well, you've done a beautiful job. Of course, Nat Geo always has the greatest photos. The stories behind the different adventures I found so fascinating. Tell us a little bit about something that's going on in Japan.
Oh, well, I mean, there are two of the most beautiful parks there, Tokyo Disneyland and Tokyo Disney Sea. And I haven't had the opportunity to visit there yet. That's very, 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 very high on my personal wish list. But these parks were were the first international parks. A lot of people aren't aware of that after Walt Disney World was built, and they are simply exquisite. There's many the attractions that are the same, like you would see at Disneyland and Walt Disney World, but they have their vision, the Japanese vision, but Disneyland itself is, Tokyo Disneyland is very much like Disneyland in California. And it's also where you'll see a lot of the Duffys, which I made an entrance. The Duffys, we know Mickey Mouse and we know some of these other characters so well, and the plushies that could be are collectible, but the Duffys and Duffy and his friends, this cute little bear, has its own beautiful little story, and it's very, very popular in Tokyo.
Well, there's one horrible thing about this book, absolutely horrible. It just drove me. Oh, it's just awful. The photos of the food make you crazy. I want everything. It's wonderful. Oh. My goodness.
But Tessa, there's one thing. You see, for me, I really am a Disney geek first and foremost before I'm an author. I am the reader as much as I'm the writer. And my first book for Disney was Eat Like Walt, The Wonderful World of Disney Food. So I hear you. I have your back on that. Because there's everything from, you know, the iconic snack food, kind of tangential things about how popular it is to collect the popcorn buckets, where you can go and eat like Walt in the same restaurants that Walt Disney ate at in Los Angeles. And then we have some super high-tier dining experiences like Victoria and Albert's at Walt Disney World, where you could eat in the chef's kitchen and it's on the level of a French Laundry experience. Or the super-duper one that I'm just also super high on my personal wish list is 21 Royal. And that was going to be Walt Disney's second apartment at Disneyland. His original one is above the firehouse, which is also one of our adventures. This one, Walt was building in New Orleans Square but never lived. And so to enjoy it, it actually was never completed in his lifetime. Now it's a restaurant, and for a very high fee, but I think, you know, it's worth it for 12 people. You can sit and eat in Walt Disney's dining room and have a multi-course meal, second floor, looking over New Orleans Square, seeing the nighttime spectaculars. So that would be an example of one of our aspirational dining experiences, and one that's quite achievable. There's so many, but again, at Walt Disney World would be our guest restaurant in the Beast Castle. I mean, you feel like you walk into the movie and you're eating in Beast Castle. It's just absolutely staggering.
Oh, it is wonderful. These photos, I want that little red wagon. I need to go to the corn dog cart.
That's the best corn dog, yes.
Wow. Oh, I just love it. It's absolutely delightful. As I said, well, before the pandemic threw everything. Normally, I have a very, very big Thanksgiving dinner. And what I've done over the years is I've Thanksgiving Day into something very, you know, similar to the school yearbook. I ask everybody who's a guest that day to write in the Nat Geo book. When you turn a Nat Geo book into a book where people actually write little notes and sign their name, particularly with kids, because you save these books anyway, and then to go back and look over the different Thanksgivings and see, you know, how the kids handwriting changes, and how, you know, maybe in the beginning they can just sign their name, and then 10 years later they can write you a whole beautiful message. So that's what I always promote. Thanksgiving Day is Nat Geo Day.
That is lovely tradition. I mean, I really am thinking of doing that with the 100 Disney Adventures of a Lifetime, passing it around, and everybody, they're all going to say they can't pick their favorite, but they're going to have to pick their favorite and write a little note. So may I ask you, what would be your favorite of these 100? It's actually more than 100, a lot more. But
yeah,
what would
I was going to say.
Your favorite, what would you pick?
Well, I don't know. I got fixated a little bit on the corn dogs.
I love it. Well, you know what? Okay, let's talk corn dogs at Disneyland in particular. Jonathan Gold, who was a Pulitzer Prize-winning food writer, deemed the corn dog at Disneyland from that little red wagon the best corn dog in America.
I believe it. I want it.
So you have to have one. But, you know, I think with the food at Disney, that a big part of it is, of course, we eat with our eyes. But what Disney knows so well is it's this complete sensory experience. So you're hearing the music. You're seeing the, you know, the way that it's presented on the plate, which is a whole nother place in Walt Disney World called the Flavor Lab. It's almost impossible to get into, top secret, but that's where they develop all their recipes, and that's where they decide what the foodscape's going to look like and the tablescapes and what type of utensils will be used. But I do think whatever food you're eating at any Disney enterprise, even cruises and resorts included, it's not just the food itself, and that's why it tastes so much better.
I think so. one of the photos in it is the Walt Disney Hometown Museum. I think most people don't know about it, but I found that fascinating.
Well, I thank you for bringing that up, because that's really, really, I mean, I can never pick a favorite, but I'm going to put that in my top 10 and incredibly important to me to include, because Walt and Marceline, he always called it his hometown. He talks about it often. Almost any really basic Disney, you know, fan has heard him talk about how important Marceline was to him. And this museum is in his hometown. He actually lived there for 4 years, which is another kind of fun fact, because his daughters thought, he talked about it all the time, almost every, you know, constantly, and they thought he was born and raised there. It wasn't until they're adults they found out he only had 4 years there, but four of the most important years of his life. That museum is filled with unique memorabilia you'll see nowhere else. Then also the town itself. There's the E.P. Ripley Park, which was part of Walt's inspiration to name one of the locomotives at Disneyland, E.P. Ripley. There is their Main Street USA called Kansas Avenue there, and many, many inspirations for Main Street at Disneyland came from that street and his hometown. I consider going to Marceline a pilgrimage. If you are a fan of Walt Disney, if you want to get to know the man, Marceline's the place to go. And you're going to be the first, I tell anybody, but I'm going to be in Marceline on July 3rd, and we are rolling out the red carpet and having a big Nat Geo Day, 100 Disney Adventures of a Lifetime Day in Marceline, because Walt loved his fireworks, and that's when he saw them in the town of Marceline. That's why the parks worldwide have fireworks, because that's where Walt first saw them, and when his guests are leaving the park, he calls it a kiss goodbye. It's his way of saying goodbye to his guests with that grand nighttime spectacular. So I am really excited to be celebrating this book at Marceline over the 4th of July weekend next year.
Well, I'm so happy that I brought it up, because it's funny. It was one of the pages that I kept going back to, because I didn't know there was anything in Marceline. I'd heard about it, but I didn't know. And so I found that so fascinating. And now to find out that there's actually going to be a big event. It's exciting.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I can see why you'd be attracted to that, because it really is also, you know, represents a lot of what Disney is and Nat Geo is, you know, which is family curiosity. I mean, that's one thing that I think is so interesting. You know, Walt was, like you, very fascinated by Nat Geo, and he installed a National Geographic library at the studio in the early 30s for him and for all of his Imagineers, artists, and designers to use as a reference for the movies. And that actually still exists. And one of Nat Geo's mottos is, you know, be curious. And one of Walt's statements that he said over and over again is, if you're curious, you find lots of interesting things to do. So curiosity is a theme that I like to see runs in and out of the book, and particularly at Marceline, because so many people don't know about it, and I want so many people to know about it.
You've done a beautiful job. This is a fantastic book, and I am so happy that I was able to bring it forward to people, because I am a product of Nat Geo. I was raised in northern Michigan. We were very poor. The only subscription we had to anything was Nat Geo, and we would wait. Mm-hmm. We would wait for that magazine, and we treasured it, opened the world to us, and that's why I became a world traveler. Just from reading Nat Geo at a very young age, I said, I'm going to go to all these places, and I've done a pretty good job of doing a lot of it. So, you know, I just owe so much, really, of my life to Nat Geo. I would not be the same person if I had not had Nat Geo at a young age. And I see why, you know, I relate so well to Walt Disney, because we have that same wonderful, it opened our imaginations.
Right.
That's what Nat Geo books do for everybody. And there's a wonderful Nat Geo book for everybody. Any subject, you guys have a book. I think you've done a wonderful job with this. When you get something and you have it in your hand and you hold it in your hand and you see the quality, of course, always the wonderful paper. I was trying to lift this book. It's so heavy. That's because the quality of the paper. It will last for generations. That's why if you turn it into a yearbook style thing with messages, it will be handed down for generations.
I'm actually crying. You have said something so eloquently and beautiful. I can't wait to call my editor, Allison, tell her about this call and you. Everything that we worked so hard putting this book together in record time, and to hear those sentiments, and especially about Nat Geo, because I couldn't agree with you more. It is extremely special. And another quality, I think, of this book is the photographs that we would expect from National Geographic. You know, just riveting, beautiful. The stories in themselves, they almost don't need captions, except for if you want to know the details. But you could get immersed and just lost in the storytelling and the images alone. And then that's another big signature of a National Geographic book.
Thank you so much, Marcy Carricker Smothers. You've done a beautiful job. Do you want to just tell us a little bit about the foreword?
I mean, I had so many dreams come true writing this book. We could talk a long time about that. But Joe Rohde is what I consider Disney's ultimate adventurer. Simply put, because he's had a giant career. But you might know him mostly for he was the lead designer for Disney's Animal Kingdom and Aulani in Hawaii. He has deep respect for history and cultures around the world and is a world traveler and an adventurer. Goes all over Asia and Africa just to research every single element you will notice or maybe not notice but sense at Disney's Animal Kingdom. And so when I was asked to write the book, the first thing I said was, I know who I want to write the foreword, and that's Joe Rohde. And I had no idea if he would agree. He's huge. He's a superstar. So it was the highest honor of my life when he agreed. I think that foreword also brought me to tears because it speaks so much about how adventures at Disney, just like you were saying, how reading Nat Geo magazines and his foreword, he talks about how adventures at Disney has inspired new adventurers and new artists and new designers. Maybe one singular experience has set them off on a life career path or has told them where they want to travel. So thank you to Joe Rohde for writing the introduction. And I've had the honor to do a panel with him at D23 Expo. And basically, I just wanted to hand him the mic and say, will you just talk? And I just want to listen.
Marcy, I have to go now, but I want to thank you again for being on Joy on Paper. You are just fantastic. I love the joy in your voice. And I know that Walt Disney would have loved you too. So again, the book is 100 Disney Adventures of a Lifetime, Magical Experiences from Around the World. It's a Nat Geo book. It's available wherever books are sold. You can go to Nat Geo Books online also, and of course in bookstores all over the place. Get this book for Thanksgiving. Get one for your own coffee table and then bring it to everybody you go visit during the holidays. It's just wonderful. Kids will love it. It's for everybody, you know, young and to 110, because people will just spend hours reading this book. Thank you, Marcy.
Thank you so much, and I wish you a joyful day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye now. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, this is a wonderful book, everybody. Bye-bye now.